grace and Advent peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Babe of Bethlehem, dear fellow redeemed. This morning we consider the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning with the 13th verse as follows, reading today in the English Standard Version. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word exposure can mean various things when used in different contexts, but I think it's safe to say that most of the meanings are bad. Granted, there are some benign uses of the word exposure when we expose photographic film to light. That's called an exposure. When most of the windows in your home face south, you might say, our house has a pleasant southern exposure. But if you, for instance, Google the words politician and exposure together, or perhaps exposure and public decency, I can guarantee that the news that comes up will all be bad news. It'll be about people with dark, repulsive secrets that they never intended anyone to find out. It will be about crime and corruption and dark deeds exposed. Advent, by way of contrast, is a season of light. And this morning we're reminded that one of the specific goals of the child of Bethlehem that he came to accomplish was exposure. Exposure in two senses. This morning our theme is Jesus Christ is the light of exposure because his law exposes sin, but his gospel exposes the way of salvation. In chapter 5 of his epistle to the Ephesians, Paul's subject is enlightenment. He's talking about the enlightened walk of a Christian, how Christians are to behave, and what their behavior says to the people around them, how their behavior differs from the unbelievers. Unlike most of us, the Ephesian believers could actually remember a time when they were not Christians. They knew firsthand the darkness and ignorance of their former days, and they had vivid memories of the change that took place in their lives when the Holy Spirit worked faith in their hearts and brought them into the kingdom of Christ. Paul reminds them of this in verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. The deeds of the world in which they lived, and perhaps even more the world in which you and I live, are dark and wicked. What were the Christians to do? Join in those deeds? Certainly not. Ignore the deeds and pretend they didn't exist? No. They were neither to join in with them nor to ignore them, but rather using the Word of God to expose them. Christ and His Word always bring the light of exposure. First and most obviously, because His law exposes sin. Paul says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Light brings exposure, and that's not always pleasant. The world will not thank you for letting the light of your faith shine, because the light of God's law always exposes the sin of the unbelieving world. More to the point, however, it exposes the sin that lies within each of our hearts as well. This is the function of the law. It's not a pleasant function, but it is a very necessary function. Let me illustrate. Our garage in Tacoma, where we used to live, had no electricity. It was a very dark place. It was cluttered, and it was hard to see your way around. Well, one hot July a few years ago, I noticed a vaguely disturbing smell coming from the interior of the garage. I wasn't sure what it was, but one thing I was sure of, whatever it was not good. That was right. I finally determined that the bad smell was coming from a woolen army blanket that was rolled up in a dark corner. So holding my nose, I grabbed it by the edge and dragged it out into the light and unrolled it. That was the problem, all right. Sometime previously, a rat had crawled into the middle of that blanket and died. The smell nearly made me ill. Why do I bring up such an unpleasant story? Because, my fellow Christians, our sin is even worse than that. The sins we harbor in our heart are more unpleasant, more disgusting, and to the point, more dangerous than that. The sins that we nurture in our hearts, in the darkness of our hearts, as soon as we start protecting them, as soon as we show ourselves reluctant to repent of them, that's when the corruption and the rottenness begins. Eventually, we may even come to think that we need no repentance, that the smell isn't really all that bad. We're good enough the way we are. Sin isn't really sin. But God's law is there. And in effect, God's law takes us right back to that disgusting blanket and rubs our noses in it. We are all like an unclean thing, Isaiah says, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Yes, the Word of God is the light of exposure. It's the light that exposes the sin of the world and our own sins as well. But all is not lost. Because, of course, the light of Christ carries out an even more important function for us, a very blessed and beneficial function, for his gospel exposes the way of salvation. Paul goes on, "Anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" What a terrific message. That despite the darkness we see all around us, and yes, the darkness that we see within us, God has shined the light of the gospel to show us the way of salvation. That gospel light, that call, shows us the way and bids us arise to spiritual and eternal life. And the very gospel command to arise contains within itself the power to accomplish that resurrection. John says in his first chapter of his gospel, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." For Jesus, of course, there was plenty of darkness. On Good Friday, he went through the ultimate darkness. An inky blackness covered the face of the entire earth from noon to three, while Jesus suffered the darkness of hell, so that you and I could look forward to the light of heaven. He underwent the darkness of being forsaken by his heavenly Father, so that now we can look to our heavenly Father, who lifts up his countenance upon us and lets the light of his grace shine upon us. Jesus endured the punishment for all the sins of mankind, including mine and yours, so that triumph, joy, and everlasting life now belong to us. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For our sake, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In the old days, with film cameras, a double exposure was a bad thing. But this is God's double exposure, and it's a wonderful thing. For his law exposes the sin of the world, but his gospel exposes the way of salvation for all people. That gospel is the joyful light that's shining upon us all once again from the manger at Bethlehem this year. God grant that we may see, rejoice in, and follow that blessed Christmas light. Amen. We sing the first and last stanzas of hymn 515.